We're turning this morning, if you have your Bibles, to Revelation chapter 9. The ninth chapter of Revelation. And we ought to read the 20th verse. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Let's bow together as we ask the Lord's blessing on His word. Father in heaven, we come to you now with thankful hearts that you've given us the eternal word forever settled in heaven. We ask you to move in power this day that word might convict hearts. We ask you to help men to come to the knowledge of the truth. We ask you to help your people to be taught of thee. We're so thankful for thy goodness, how you promised never to leave us or forsake us. And we ask you that the Lord Jesus might be glorified in all that we do and say here this day. We pray these things in His precious name. Amen. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with something called Parade Magazine. It comes to 50 million homes every week. And on that basis, it's one of the most widely read publications on the face of the earth. My wife was telling me that it's not very often that on Sunday she looks at this until later on in the day. But she happened to pick it up this morning. And at my house, because I have to try to keep up with what's in the news or messages on the end times, I take the News and Observer and the Fayetteville Observer. And the Lord apparently wanted this to happen so that you could remember this. The day that the News and Observer made the big boo-boo. In the Fayetteville Observer, you get this Parade magazine. It's got a picture of some people from the U.S. Coast Guard who are dealing with some problems on board a ship. But when you get the News and Observer, you get an entirely different publication. Now, I'm not sure what this lady's name is. My TV broke a little over 30 years ago. I haven't had time to get it fixed yet. Maybe it's Tia Leone, whoever that might be, talking about her marriage to David Duchovny or whatever his name is. But anyway, somehow they got it mixed up. And the Fayetteville Observer published today's July 1st edition. The News Observer published the July 8th magazine. So they got ahead of the times a little bit. But there was an article there right at the beginning in the part where they print the things about the celebrities that was very relevant to what I'm preaching about today. The article says this: how do you explain the rash of stars like Melanie Griffith being treated for addiction to prescription painkillers? The answer: we blame unscrupulous doctors. You didn't know there were any of those, did you? Now, this is a lost man saying we blame unscrupulous doctors and self-indulgent stars who delude themselves into thinking drugs like Percodan and Vicodin are safe because they're FDA approved. They don't carry the stigma associated with heroin or cocaine. Film studios also are to blame for rushing their stars back to work after quick detox programs
rather than long-term treatment, which often leads to relapse. They're talking about a very common problem in the world of Hollywood these days. Not just Melanie Griffith, person after person after person, who are legalized drug addicts. Not people who are doing something that will get them in trouble with the law. People who are doing what their doctor told them, or at least allowed them to do. I want to talk to you today about the unrepentant drug culture. I preached a message last week called Sign of Sorceries. The deacons have given you a copy of a Bible study sheet that came from my sermon notes. But today I'm preaching you a similar message from the same verse. Revelation 9:21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. We're talking here about 7 years of tribulation, about the end time, about what is going to happen in this world to the people of this world very shortly. But we're talking about things that are not only going to happen in the near future, they're going to be in place before they happen. That's the only way they can happen. The preparation is going to be made. The lifestyle is going to be established. I pointed out to you last time that the word sorceries, here in Revelation 9:21, is the Greek word pharmakia. If you transliterate that word, you come up with the word pharmacy or pharmacist. It's a word that has to do with drugs. The concoction of drugs, as a matter of fact. As I told you, this End Time series is not entertainment. It's not something to give you an idea that it's fun to think about all the bad things that are going on in the last days. The first thing the devil does is bring to the mind of a lost world that there's some problem with the translation here. Why would we have the word sorceries? Why would we not have the word pharmacy or pharmacist or drugs? Maybe that's some kind of shortcoming in the King James Version. But the fact of the matter is, that's not the case at all. What we have is a magnification of the problem, an elaboration of the truth for anybody who's interested. Remember, I pointed out to you last time that God commands you and me to study these things. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Very few people get concerned enough to study every word. But that's what he's telling us. He's talking about the reality of serious Bible study. And when it comes to serious Bible study, when we study this word sorceries, we find that it has to do with drug culture. But it's more than that. Drugs are a human remedy for spiritual problems here in these last days. And the Bible predicts that to be the case. The unrepentant drug culture. I wonder if you ever get convicted about such things. What do you do when you have a bad headache? You start looking around for the Tylenol bottle, or maybe the aspirin bottle. Did it ever occur to you to pray and ask the Lord to relieve the headache? You remember that part of the Bible, don't you? The great physician. He's the one who says he heals all our diseases. And he will one day. Not just here in this world, but our eternal diseases. If we trust him as our Savior. But when you get sleepy, I usually can't sleep. Do you read for the night off? Or do you remember that the Bible says, speaking of Christians, he giveth his beloved sleep. Sleep is a gift from God. And if God won't give it to you, there may be a reason. There must be a reason. There is a reason, or he wouldn't withhold it. There's something he wants you to think about or pray about or do something about. Unless maybe you're caught up in a drug culture that assumes the nightfall will take care of it. Pharmakia. Translated by the word sorceries. Translated in Galatians 5:20 by the word witchcraft. Witchcraft. We're talking here about supernatural things. Supernatural things. God ascribes to drugs a demonic power. You might not like to hear that. You might not want that to be true. I tell you how I feel about it. Doesn't make any difference to me whether it's true or not. Unless the Bible says it is. That's what makes it important. That's the only thing that makes anything important to anybody, if the truth or not. I didn't write the Bible. I just preach it. And God says that drugs have demonic connotations. They're a very serious problem. A problem that will deceive the whole world in the end time. Ibuprofen solves all kind of problems. But you know, if you take ibuprofen and don't drink a whole lot of water, it'll kill you. It'll make holes in your stomach. If you understand Bible symbolism, you know something about that, don't you? Water is a symbol of the Word of God. It takes a tremendous amount of the Word of God to get you through the drug culture of the last days. Trying to heal yourself with the remedies of this world. God ascribes to drugs demonic power. Whether man believes it or not. Whether he agrees with that description or not. And we can know on that basis that the vast majority of drugs are of the devil. I know something about drugs. I've had four strokes. Two major strokes and two minor strokes. I had to go through 13 different pills to get blood pressure medicine that I could live with. I could either be a zombie, or I could be a raving maniac, or I could keep on changing drugs until I found one that I could live with. The VA hospital, they said, it's like rat poison. They said, we prescribe it in an intensity that will be just enough to keep you like you need to be without actually killing you. If we hadn't gave you a strong enough dose, it would kill you. Blood pressure medicine. And I take my portion of aspirin every day because everybody tells me that's what I ought to do. But I tell you what God tells me every day. You see that big blotch of blood right there? I get them on my hands if I just barely bump anything. That's God telling me, I'm not so sure you ought to be taking that aspirin. That's a physical symptom of a problem in my body. That aspirin is not doing what it ought to do. Give that aspirin too much of what it should do. I have a 36-year-old daughter at Duke Hospital with acute myeloid leukemia. And she's taking some of the most powerful drugs known to mankind. I know about drugs. And I know that there are many drugs, most of the drugs manufactured are intended to get you out of trouble temporarily. That's what they're for. There are many drugs that mask symptoms relieve symptoms. But I hope you know what pain is. Pain is not something God sent to torture you. Pain is God's alarm clock. The alarm clock of your body. And you know what happens when most people get in pain? They want to turn off the alarm clock and go back to sleep. Forget about the warning. Pop a pill. That'll take care of it. That'll make it go away temporarily. In rare cases, there have been drugs that were major breakthroughs. Like in the case of polio. Drugs that can curb disease. Drugs that can ease life in this world for people who have a serious problem. But remember that the number one sin of the last days is that men should be lovers of their own selves. That's why we take the drugs. Primary reason. Because we're lovers of our own selves. We want to feel better. And we want to feel better without examining the process that God says Christians are supposed to follow to find out what's causing the problem. In most cases, as we saw last week with alcohol, the goal is to have a drug-induced escape from a spiritual problem. I've been telling you about that. Drugs are one of Satan's reasonable alternatives to the truth. That's what he specializes in. Not the truth, but not some wild, outlandish idea. A reasonable alternative. Not being a heroin addict, throwing up your guts, losing everything. Get a prescription drug. Get you some Prozac. That'll take care of you. And it'll be legal. And in some cases, it'll even be fun. You see, it's hard to imagine the scope of America's love affair with pharmaceuticals. As I say, my TV has been broken for about 30 years, so I don't get to see it very much. But when I go to Duke Hospital to visit my daughter, I get a lot of time to see what's on TV, with all the sets that are on around there, with my granddaughter flipping through the channels. And what you see when she flips through the channels is how every few flips, there's another drug advertisement for some problem that somebody has. It may be for Budweiser. For Coors. It may be for Pepto-Bismol, or Tylenol, or ibuprofen. It may even be a nicotine patch. Since we can't advertise cigarettes, we do the patches. Of course, I was reading in the paper this week that they're now suggesting that nicotine patches kept on too long caused you to have a tumor. The disease worse than the cure. Not always the case. Often a cure is worse than a disease. I was reading through this week about something that the New York Times talks about. Alpha hydroxy acids, AHA. It's an interesting new discovery in cosmetics because they don't test the cosmetics. The FDA pays no attention to them. But if you use a cream, an anti-wrinkle cream, that has that in it, according to the New York Times, if you combine that with sunlight, intense sunlight, tanning beds, etc., you're going to end up looking like a prune. That'll be the texture of your face. If you use these cosmetics with alpha hydroxy acids, whatever that is, I have no idea. Neither do you. And that's the problem. All these things are being manufactured and put out to the public without any serious examination whatsoever. As I say, my daughter has acute myeloid leukemia. 15 years ago, she had Hodgkin's disease, cancer of the lymph nodes. And they happened to mention to us, when she went back in the hospital this time, that her leukemia was probably caused by the treatment for her Hodgkin's disease. They just happened to mention that in passing. But of course, the argument is, guess what? You're going to die. She's given a choice by doctors of chemotherapy or death. You know what chemotherapy is, don't you? Chemical therapy. Some of the most powerful drugs known to man. Chemotherapy. And that chemical therapy can really do you in. It can make you unimaginably miserable. For example, when she had Hodgkin's disease, she took chemotherapy until she decided that the cure was worse than the disease. Wouldn't take it anymore. The Lord gave her mercy. Gave her time to think about things, to get saved, for which I'm very thankful. But it's very interesting to examine how these things work as she comes to this new faith. At one point in this most recent hospitalization, she thought she was two people. Sometimes in the same body, sometimes one in, one out. Another point, I sat there for about 2 hours, and every couple of minutes, she would sit up in the bed. And then about 2 minutes later, she lay back in the bed. Another 2 minutes, she'd sit up again. And it went on and on and on and on. Like she was on pins and needles. Like she was a nervous wreck. At another point, she was seeing things that weren't there. She'd say, "Don't you see that on the floor where the cat vomited?" Her cat wasn't even in her house. But she could see it. Hallucination. That cancer is a terrible thing, isn't it? Is it the cancer? No. Is it a chemotherapy that lasted for a week? The chemotherapy itself only lasted for 7 days. No, that's not it. Not the cancer. Not the chemotherapy. It's the psychotropic drugs. The mind-altering drugs that are supposed to calm her depression. Her depression. How do we know she's in depression? The doctor told her so. He said, "Of course you're depressed." He said, "I'd be angry if I had leukemia. You need to see the psychiatric people." Well, let's do a little psychoanalysis of the doctor. The doctor would be angry if he had leukemia. The question is, at whom would he be angry? His mama? His daddy? No. He knows better than that. Is there anybody to be angry at besides God? He said, "I'd be angry if I had leukemia." But she didn't know that she was clinically depressed. And so that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about just feeling bad about things, being discouraged about things. We're talking about clinical depression. And that's when you have the seal upon your life. The seal of the American Psychiatric Association. When they say that you have clinical depression, you're ready for the drugs. The psychotropic drugs. Mind-altering, that's what that means. Mind-altering drugs. You're officially there. You're ready for the psychotropic drugs if you have clinical depressions. When the doctor left, my daughter said, "Why do they keep saying that I'm depressed?" I don't feel like I'm depressed. The worst that could happen is that I wouldn't make it. And I know where I'm going if I die. What would make him think that I've got to have depression? And I said to her, obviously, one of the top cancer doctors at one of the top hospitals in the country does not understand the danger of psychiatry and psychotropic drugs. You're leaving on psychotropic drugs. You're branded officially in the mind of the public as mentally ill. That stays on your record for the rest of your life. And for no other reason, most people wouldn't want that. And I'm sure somebody's thinking, you're not a doctor. How do you know about these things? I can tell you how I know. Because I've become an expert. When my daughter complained, they changed the psychotropic drugs. And guess what? The symptoms changed. Not chemo, not cancer, psychotropic drugs. When the drugs changed, the symptoms changed. No more hallucination. No more serious anxiety. No more schizophrenia. Because in the end, she did the unthinkable. She got the medicine and didn't take it. They thought it was helping her. Wasn't helping her at all because she wouldn't take it. But her symptoms went away. The things they were trying to cure got cured because she was not doing what they told her to do. You see, the Lord allowed me to have some personal experience so I can preach on this. Somebody who's been there. I learned from my mother. My mother went in the hospital and was given Haldol, one of the most powerful psychotropic drugs, one of the most dangerous. It wiped out my mother's sanity totally, absolutely, completely. And one of the meekest humans that I've ever known in my life became dangerous, physically violent. She began to see spider webs and spiders hanging from the ceiling over her bed. Haldol completely took away her sanity. Now, some of it came back. A lot of it came back temporarily. And now it's gone altogether. And you're going to find out one day when you stand before the Lord where it went. Haldol. As I say, I've had four strokes. I've been through the blood pressure gauntlet, at least partially. Only 13 different types so far. There are over 200 on the market. But one of my daughter's best friends was given Paxil. Given Paxil by a local doctor, another psychotropic drug. And the side effects made her such a nervous wreck that she couldn't cope with it. It scared her so bad she wouldn't take it anymore. Paxil is the same psychotropic drug that the psychiatrist thinks my daughter is on right now. Right down the road from Duke at Research Triangle Park is where Paxil's made. I told you last time about the second largest drug company on earth, GlaxoSmithKline. They just merged and became the second largest drug manufacturer in the world. They're based in London, like so many major companies. The base of the company is moving to Europe. His life is moving to Europe shortly. After we hear from the Chinese and the Russians with a little nuclear visit, a lot of things are moving to London. 100,000 employees worldwide. They make Tums. They make Geritol. and they make Paxil. Little did I know when I was preaching on that last time, that by the time I preached on this subject again, the psychiatrist would be trying to give Paxil to my daughter. These things are right here in your world, in your life. And I want to give you these things, not to treat her cancer, to treat her clinical anxiety, her clinical depression, which she does not have. And she won't have it if she'll stay off the psychotropic drugs. Another of my daughter's friends, who at one time shared a house with her after her divorce, rented it together, had a mother who was a nurse. She got hooked on Zoloft. It's very easy to get when you're a nurse. She got hooked on Zoloft and tried to get off of it, and coming off of it, committed suicide. One of her best friend's mother. Because that's what psychotropic drugs very often do to people who try to get off of them. The very Sunday that I preached this last sermon on pharmakia was the day, might even have been the hour, when there was a robbery going on at the Medical Center Pharmacy in Banners. That day, somebody broke into that pharmacy and they sold $6,300 worth of narcotics. That's the wholesale price, easily $20,000 worth of narcotics. And they stole what I was talking to you about. Oxycontin, Percocet, Percodan, just the kind of psychotropic drugs that people are looking for to put on the street. Since 1980, according to the Surgeon General's report, suicide in children 10 to 14 years of age has doubled. Why on earth would that be? Why would twice as many children start killing themselves? Because I pointed out to you last time, 6 million kids are now prescribed psychotropic drugs. And the number one side effect coming off of Ritalin is suicide. You think there might be some connection? How could there be any other explanation? We're talking here about an international problem. I told you a little bit last time about ecstasy. Ecstasy is the fastest growing illegal drug in the United States. And U.S. News and World Report did a recent article that was incredibly interesting because it explained the network by which they had discovered that these things were put together. They arrested one of the main dealers and found out how it was being done. It turns out that most of the ecstasy, about 90% of it, comes from the Netherlands and Belgium. Strange locations. The Netherlands and Belgium. And in some cases, they have boats, rafts. There are floating laboratories so that the government can't catch them because it's illegal in those countries, too. Another thing they use is 18-wheelers. The 18-wheeler is a rolling laboratory to make ecstasy. So they make these things in the Netherlands and Belgium, and they send them out by Federal Express. And they track Federal Express shipments on the Internet. On the Internet, they can see exactly where their shipment is at any given time. They can see any interdiction, any interruption of what they're shipping. And the shipment goes out FedEx to France, Korea, Mexico, different places around the globe. And then they have mules set up in these countries whose job is nothing but to transport the ecstasy into the country. Now, in some cases, they're strippers. That's one of their favorites. Because they're nice-looking women who don't tend to be stopped by the drug people. They're also using great numbers of Hasidic Jews, of all people. In fact, the Hasidic Jews and the Russians and the Egyptians have an organized crime set up that is behind the major portion of the ecstasy shipments around the world. You see, the headquarters, the base for these things is in Europe, because America is not going to be around that much longer. Ecstasy. I pointed out to you that according to Clinton's drug policy director, there's been an explosive increase in young people using the drug ecstasy. More than twice as many high school seniors reported using the drug in 2000 as in 1998. Less 1998 to 2000. But what about the latest figures? According to this U.S. News article, there's been a tenfold increase in emergency room visits caused by ecstasy. That's interesting. Because ecstasy is not supposed to have the side effects that a lot of these other things do. But here they are numbering them by the number of people who end up in the emergency room because they took them. Gives you a little hint, there might be some problem. A tenfold increase in emergency room visits caused by ecstasy. Since the last time I preached to you, you heard about the lady in Houston, Texas. The lady who drowned her five children systematically, one at a time. The lady who was on psychotropic drugs. The lady who attempted suicide. The lady who was under psychiatric care. The lady who did what so many people are doing, who are on these psychotropic drugs. And you talk about a piece of irony. This was noted at the end of one of the articles on the Houston case, Andrea Yates, her husband. The last line of the article said, the children's father was given sedation as he arrived at the scene. I never thought it would come to anything like this, he mumbled to a neighbor. They give the guy drugs. They sedate the guy. Sedation is the very thing that caused all his children to be killed. Pharmakia, the mnemonic influence of drugs. As I pointed out to you last time, most of the shooters and most of the high schools and most of the cases in the last several years, Columbine, as a product of psychotropic drugs. But you don't see it often in the paper. You have to read several articles, and once in a while you'll see the psychotropic drug mission. But what about the war on drugs around the world? You know, we've been hearing years that we had to spend billions of dollars on carrying out the war on drugs around the globe. One article says top North Korean officials still earn as much as $1 billion annually for drugs and counterfeiting. So the market's still going real well in North Korea. But what about in Peru? In Peru, they've just captured a man, Vladimir Montesinos, who essentially ran the government in Peru for about 10 years. They had a $5 million reward out for his hide, so you know he's a pretty valuable fellow. But the reason they wanted him, they finally got him, is because they say he had stashed away tens of millions of dollars in Swiss banks. He and his cronies in the military amassed a fortune from arms dealing and drug trafficking. They said, likely Montesinos will eventually face a life sentence in prison. The Peruvian foreign minister said he's a delinquent drug trafficker. That's where he made his millions. big time drugs coming out of Peru. Here's an editorial from a paper in Colombia, South America. The U.S. policy of punishing third world countries for America's addiction is obvious to fail. 2 decades into the drug war, 700 metric tons of cocaine are still produced every year. And 190,000 hectares of cocoa crops haven't diminished an inch. It looked as if Bush was willing to correct the damage caused by 20 years of this crazy crusade. And he goes on to point out that Bush is not doing anything serious to correct it. They don't know how to correct it. Their cropland for cocaine has not diminished an inch. 700 metric tons every year. That's the status of the war on drugs. The National Conference of State Legislatures estimates that governments spend $20 billion a year fighting drugs. $20 billion a year. That's pretty good hunk of change. Drug companies spend $14 billion a year promoting drugs. That's another good size chunk of change. I told you last time that the ultra drug Prilosec is the number one selling drug in the world. It brings in $6 billion in 1 year. Ulcers. A lot of people should have an ulcer or what's going on here. It's almost impossible to imagine, but last year, the legal drug sales in this country were $131.9 billion. That's the legal drugs. $131.9 billion. And according to U.S. News, Congress is proposing $300 billion in prescription drugs over the next 10 years. The giveaway program. Giving drugs to anybody who needs them. $30 billion a year. Now, if you heard Earl preach recently, you heard him talk about Dennis Martin's formula for understanding all these big numbers. 1 million seconds. Let's say you're going to lay down a dollar every second. Stand there and count it. You'll count out your $1 million when you finally make it. It'll take you 11 and a half years.
Days.
And $1 bills. And that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 1 billion seconds is 32 years. 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. I tell you how much difference there is in those numbers that we throw around so casually. How can we understand such numbers? How can we understand that an unrepentant international drug culture is so caught up, so deceived by this personal love of self, that no matter what the cost, they'll take the medicine? But think about this, because I'll tell you why we're losing the drug war. We're losing the drug war because we've legalized the enemy. This is an article from Charlotte Observer. Headlines noted nearly 100,000 deaths per year due to medical errors. That study came out a couple of years ago. 100,000 deaths a year due to medical errors. But listen to this. A study by the North Carolina Board of Pharmacy finds that 90% of the drug deaths in this state are result from the use of legal prescription drugs, not the misuse of controlled substances. 90%. It's not heroin. It's not marijuana. It's not cocaine. It's prescription drugs. 90%. 90% of the people who die in North Carolina. When we think of drugs, we think of exotic things. For example, in Thailand, Parade magazine had an article about the fact that many of the Thai men become Buddhist monks. And Thai officials reveal that 10% of the monks have sought help for drug addiction. Now, that's a society bathed in opium. Opium is the national religion. Or what about Thessalonica? You've heard of them. Thessalonica, Greece. Men use arrows to shoot drugs in a Greek prison. Two men using a crossbow to shoot drugs over a prison wall were arrested by police and charged Friday with narcotics trafficking. Police had been staking out the prison in this northern port city after the warden discovered small bags of heroin and hashish hanging from the barbed wire atop the wall surrounding the penitentiary. Now, these guys are getting innovative. The arrows were reaching the courtyard of the prison and were being picked up by inmates during their break. We think about that as being the problem when we hear about drugs in the world. Anecdotal drugs. But let me read you another news article. I'm almost through. The treatment of choice today is psychotropic, mind-altering drugs. And once again, the experts are assuring us of the safety of these drugs and announcing miracle cures. Almost every drug originally promoted as non-addictive has turned out to cause addiction. In the 1800s, morphine was touted as a cure for opium addiction. By 1898, heroin was hailed as a cure for morphine addiction. In the 1960s, methadone replaced heroin. And in the 1960s, the tranquilizer Librium came on the market. In 1963, Valium. The side effects in addition to addiction were found to be horrendous over time. Furthermore, a number of studies have linked these drugs with increased societal violence. Haldol, Xanax, Prozac have all been linked to bizarre acts of violence. That's the news. The news that you don't read. One little thing to encourage you. Tyson's bottomless rage. You know Mike Tyson, the boxer? Mike Tyson is one sick dude, and he knows it. I'm a violent person, he tells Albert Bain in Maxim magazine. Almost an animal. Violent enough to be arrested 38 times by age 13. Violent enough to take a bite out of Evander Holyfield's ear. I was sick, real sick. Sometimes I look at tapes of my own interviews and I get scared. I got to be more passive, man. Tyson, make it his wish. He's now on Prozac. I know that would help you feel safe. Prozac just recently got their patent renewed. They didn't think they were going to be able to do it. But it seems that they had some friends in government who made it happen. Patent renewed for 7 years. And you know, it's $90 a month for Prozac. And it's very likely that that could be cut 50% if it went to generic drugs. 17 million Americans have taken Prozac since it was introduced in 1988. 17 million. I hope you won't forget what I told you in the last message. Depression is not a disease. Depression is a sin. It's caused by not believing God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's a promise from God, if you believe it. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. You can't get any better off than that. Whose mind is stayed on thee. That's how you do it. Because he trusteth in thee. Trusting the Lord as your Savior. trusting the Lord to handle the problems of daily life. Don't forget Philippians 4:11 in case you're worried about them. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. God says if you don't have it, you can learn it. Maybe you haven't been studying that Bible like you ought to. Maybe you've been reaching for too many pills and not enough talk to the Lord to help him, get him to relieve whatever your symptoms might be. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The world is always looking for a new way to solve their problems. No matter what it is. They think the answer is in a drug bottle. But the answer is in the Word of God. The answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as these times get more demonic, more dangerous, as these times get more perilous, as God says, we need to be aware of what's happening. Let's bow together as we close in prayer. Father, we ask you to help us to be delivered from ourselves. We ask you to give us the humility to realize that it's only as we come to you in childlike simplicity that we're going to be able to understand these things. We ask you to give us the grace to be willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow thee. And we pray if there is someone here today without the Lord Jesus, they'll realize their need. They'll realize that the only hope is to be found in the blood of Calvary's cross. Pray these things in the Savior's precious name. Amen.